Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this May 19th. I hope you're having a wonderful day. This weekend is graduation for our Waverly parents. There is about 11 or 12 students from our church who are graduating this afternoon at Waverly High School, and that's an exciting time for them. We think of them and we pray for them. One of the things that I've, I remember people telling us when our kids were little was enjoy the time. It goes by quickly. And it's so true. Both of my children now are past the high school graduation. They're older now. And I look back at those years and I think, man, that did go by really fast. Watching our kids, taking them home from the hospital and watching them grow up as little toddlers and into elementary and middle school and high school and cheering them on in their sports and things. And so it's a very significant day today for some parents and some kids as they celebrate the accomplishment and also look forward to the next step and that next season in the life of their children. And so we pray for them. A couple announcements real quick. One is our Vacation Bible School is starting up in 2 weeks, Sunday, June 2nd through Thursday, June 6th. It's going to be each night from 6 to 8 p.m., and they're going to come out. They're going to have lots of fun, some games, some crafts, and of course, learning some stories of Jesus and what it means to follow him. And so I encourage you to register your kids right now, as well as tell the friends about it, that they might register too. It's going to be a wonderful week of growing in Christ. Another thing I wanted to mention to you is coming up on June 22nd, we are going to have a zoo day at the Lincoln Zoo, and anyone is invited. We're going to be at a particular location there and handing out some free stuff that'll help you just to have a good time, and we'll be connecting with people. It's an opportunity to get to know some others. Kids love the zoo. I love the zoo. So we'll be out there, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Lincoln Zoo, we'll have a great time with the church going to the zoo. And we're going to do a couple of these type of social events throughout the summer just to have some fun together and to do some things to get to know one another even better. So hope you can come. All right, this summer we're going through the Book of James sermon series, and this morning up to James chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, open with me to James 2, 1 to 13, as I look at that scripture for us today. It says this, "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting and he's wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, while a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here is a good seat for you,' but say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit at my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, 'Love your neighbor as yourself,' you're doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sit and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at even just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' also said, 'You shall not murder.' And if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you're still a lawbreaker. So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who's not been merciful. But mercy will triumph over judgment." One of the true tests of our Christian faith is in how we treat other people. in the book of James, we're learning this summer about what it means to have a real faith, a living faith, to walk the walk, to let the love of Christ and our salvation and His Word be our guide and seen in us every day, not just on Sundays. In James chapter 1, we looked at how real faith is seen in the way we handle our trials or in the way that we face our temptations. Last week, we looked at how real faith is seen in both the listening and the doing of His Word and how we speak and how we treat those who are the most in need in our society. Well, this morning, we're in chapter 2, where James now speaks about another way that we live our faith out in Christ, and that's in how we treat people who come to our church or people we interact with every day at our jobs or pass by on the street or meet in the grocery store. And he's speaking about a common problem of his day, which can also be seen in ours, and that is showing favoritism. Ranking people, right? Treating one person better because they've got some money, or they're of a certain race, or a social status, or an intelligence that impresses us, or just in the way that they look. It's judging people by the world's standards, by the things that impress the world, not by what's on their inside and what's impressive to God. It's catering to or kissing up to someone who is rich or more important, while ignoring or treating poorly those who don't have as much money or education or are seen as less in the eyes of the world. I would ask us a question. Who in our eyes are the VIPs? You know, who do we worship? Who do we look up to? Who do we look down to? Who, you know, would we do anything for? And who do we ignore when they call? You know, we all can do it. We all can treat some greater than others. But how does the love of Jesus that we have in our heart call us to look differently upon people and treat one another better? Whether rich or poor, foreigner, sinner, Samaritan, or leper, do we treat everyone as we would want to be treated? Or do we play favorites? Or as Scripture says, are we judges with evil thoughts? And it's easy to do. We all can show favoritism without even thinking about it. For example, funny example, when Nebraska hired its new football coach a couple years ago, we all found out that he was moving into our neighborhood. He was moving into Waverly, the corner of 98th and Waverly Road. You could stop by today and knock on his gate, see if he answers. When he moved in, we all thought it. Maybe he'll come to our church. We heard he was a Christian. And I had at least a dozen people within that first week reach out to me and text me that I should go knock on his gate and invite him to our church. Suddenly, everyone in our church cared about evangelism. I even began to think how it would feel to go to a pastor gathering and name drop that I'd been having coffee the other day with Matt Rule, and he was asking me about something about the team. Certain people just make us feel more important, you know? They give us status. I mean, this happened ever since middle school. Can't you remember when you wanted to be in that group or you looked upon, down upon that other group, you know? It's the same thing. But the Bible says, as Christians, we shouldn't be like this at all. We should be the same with everyone. Sometimes we can all greet and welcome the shiny new family that comes into our church. We all notice them. When we can ignore, at times, the single mother who walks in, doesn't have the designer clothes, or the high school kid who's there and is a loner who sits in the back row, or the older gentleman who walks in and walks out, and no one even bothered to ask his name or invite him over. Do we see everyone, or do we favor certain ones in our society? Do we value each life as the same value to God, even the homeless person that we walk by every day? So many times in my life, God has convicted me of judging a book by its cover, I remember the first time I met Andy from our church, all tattooed up and looking like he could kill me. I had no idea until I got to know him. And I heard him speak the first time and share his testimony and story of what Christ had done in his life. And he talked with such faith, so gentle, so kind. Too often we judge by the outside. And maybe some of us, maybe all of us at one time or another even, has been judged by others and hurt by it, just in the way that people looked at us as if we were less than. Social media can only add to this, showing favorites or likes or comments, comparing ourselves by worldly, material, or shallow standards. We can fall into the trap of trying to protect an image or to keep one up, or to impress others with worldly things, or seek approval in the wrong ways. Life is so much more than this, Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 6 that our life is more valuable than the clothes that we wear, or the neighborhood we live in, or the job that we have, or the things that we have. All these impressive things to the world, these aren't as impressive to God. We're worth something to Him, simply because He made us. He made us in His image, and He loves us, and He died for us. Whether we are rich or powerful or poor and weak, in His eyes we were worth dying for. We are His child. James is saying, are you looking at people like God looks at them? Or are you putting a value on them like the world does? There are two Old Testament scriptures that I love about this topic. The first is Deuteronomy 10:17, which simply says, the Lord your God is the God of all gods. He's the Lord of all lords. He is the great and mighty and awesome God. And He does not show partiality or favoritism. This is huge. For the gods of Egypt and Rome and Greece back then, they all favored the wealthy and the rich and the beautiful. They made time for the Pharaoh and the Caesar and worshiped the athlete or the beautiful maiden, but ignored the commoner. But the scripture is telling us that the truth of the only God, the one true God, He's not like the gods we invent or make up. We worship a God who shows no favorites, who welcomes in the poor as much as the rich. We are all treated the same by Him, invited the same, and we all must come to Him the same way. Our money can get us no special treatment. Our faith is what opens the door. He's the same to the rich and to the poor, to the Samaritan, to the Jew, to the woman, to the man, to the sinner, to the saint. Society is sinful and plays favorites, but God doesn't. In the ancient world, like today, who was invited to the king's table? The rich and important, while the poor were left outside the gate. But in Deuteronomy 10:17, God's saying, but this isn't like me, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the mighty and awesome God. I give you my invitation. You are welcome at my table. God doesn't cancel His appointment with you because He's got a more important person that's just come along. No, you're the important person to Him. Even if this world says you're a nobody, you're a somebody to Him. He sees you, loves you. You don't need to impress anyone or seek their approval because you've got His. Another Old Testament scripture I love about this topic is 1 Samuel 16:7. When God speaks to Samuel, who's looking for the next king, and the first king they had, Saul, was a terrible king. He impressed them because of his size and his ability in battle. But he was a horrible king, unfair, ungodly, selfish, and not God-honoring. And so Samuel goes looking for the next king. But he goes looking in all the wrong places, all the same ones, looking on the exterior and the appearance and the size. And so God speaks to him in 1 Samuel 16:7 and says, the Lord said to Samuel, don't consider his appearance or his height. I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at things like man looks at. People look at outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Our riches don't impress God. They don't earn us a special table with him. Our money means nothing. Our faith, our heart, means everything. Do we look at people like God looks at people, or like the world looks at people? James is saying in our chapter, we show our sin, we show how different we are from God, and our lack of true faith in Jesus Christ, when we still exalt the worldly things over the spiritual things, when we show favoritism like the world does, when we give our best seat to the rich man while ignoring the poor man who walks in our door. We fail to see that that poor beggar is equal and perhaps even greater in the eyes of the Lord than the rich man who you seat in the front row. But he has been oppressing, you know, the rich man. He's maybe oppressed people. He's used his money in a way that's maybe been abusive or so forth. And you're treating that rich person really better than that poor widow who actually has way more faith and has been good and throughout her. Jesus said, you're judging by the world's standards, not mine. There are so many examples of Jesus in this that I could mention. I think of the Samaritan woman at the well. She was Samaritan and a woman and divorced 5 times. I mean, this was a person who wasn't even accepted by other Samaritans. That's why she goes to get water in the middle of the day when no one else is going to be there, because she wasn't accepted by anyone else. She was the low of all lows in her culture and society, rejected. Well, Jesus goes to Samaria to meet with her. This one no one else will even give time of day to. This story is in the gospel for a reason, to show how Jesus looks at everybody. There were not many lower than this woman in the eyes of her society, but Jesus goes to her. He asks her for a drink of water. He takes time to talk with her. He ministers to her, and she comes to believe in him, and she becomes the very first evangelist and preacher for Jesus in Samaria. What strikes me is that when the disciples come back after lunch and they see their esteemed teacher talking with this woman, the Bible says in John 4:27, they were surprised, but no one said out loud what they were thinking, which is, why are you talking with her? This showed their judgment of who's worthy of Jesus' attention and who is not. It shows the heart that we all can have for people we don't think are good enough, or that we treat poorly, and others that we dislike, or others we think aren't important to give our time to or attention. Jesus was different than that. We're to be like him. We see the same thing at a rich Pharisee's dinner party when a prostitute comes in and anoints Jesus' feet with perfume. And everyone gasped and looked disgusted at her. But Jesus embraced her, actually honored her, even over the rich Pharisee, by pointing out her faith and love and humility, and how what she had done for him was far superior than anything the rich Pharisee had done. Jesus was more impressed by her than all of Simon the Pharisee's robes and mansion and meal. We see the same truth again with the poor widow who put 2 copper coins in the offering plate while all the rich were putting in their bags of money. When everybody else was impressed and praising the rich for their big gifts, Jesus was impressed by the poor widow who only gave 2 coins, because he could see her heart and how she gave out of everything that she had, trusting in him, and not publicly, but privately, just between her and God. Perhaps the Jesus example, though, that I love the most is when all the moms are bringing to Jesus their little kids so that Jesus might pray a blessing over them. And the disciples start turning away these mothers and these kids. And Jesus gets upset. He tells them, let the little children come to me, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And then he took the time to take each child into his arms and pray a blessing for them. This is a big example, because children back then in that culture were seen as the lowest important, not worth a rabbi's time. But Jesus was unlike any other rabbi. He showed no favorites, even in age. He gave equal time and attention to everyone, whether poor or sinner, Jew or Gentile, male or female, Samaritan, widow, or even child. They were all created by God and for him equally loved, and he came to save and die for each one. And he is our example of how we should treat one another. You know, one of the reasons that I think James brings up that we can sometimes show favorites is because we hope to gain from that rich person. It's really a selfish thing, you see. We treat them well because we hope what they can do for us. We treat the rich better because we want their riches. We treat the beautiful or smart or powerful better because we worship what they have and we want it for ourselves. It's selfish. And so the opposite, then, you see, can be true too. We treat someone lesser because we have no use for them. They're no good to us. Even just associate with them might jeopardize our position, you know, or our reputation. So we don't value them. They've got nothing to offer us. We dismiss them, ignore them as a waste of our time, look down upon them. In our scripture, you see, it was the man coming in with wearing a gold ring and fine clothes that the ushers wanted to seat in the best house, while the poor man with the filthy clothes was given no attention. Just sit here at my feet. Know your place. Know your place. Oh, Lord, I pray we don't treat people like this in the world today. Know your place. As if they have only value to us by what they give us or do for us. You know, is that how we treat people? Is that why we cancel out of our life certain people who don't agree with us or think like us? Or we ghost others that we no longer have any need for? Or we're disgusted by someone's behavior or how they smell? Or we don't return their phone call or bother to be polite to them because we don't think they're worthy of our respect? But that person means everything to God. Do we treat people only as valuable as they are to us? I'll love you as long as you do something for me that I want. But then when you have no more use for you, I will get rid of you. Favoritism caters to the wrong set of values and is sinful because it's selfish and it's not loving and it's not treating people as God has called us to treat one another. It is breaking God's law and is no less than adultery or murder in his eyes. Philippians 2 says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you've received any comfort from his love, if any tenderness and compassion and grace, then be of the same mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but to the interest of others. In your relationships, have the same mind as Jesus, who even though he was one with God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage, but rather he made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death on a cross. Jesus is saying in our scripture for today, real faith is seen in the way we treat people and how we look at one another and how we value them. Do we look at them with the eyes of the world or with the eyes of Jesus? Now, just a couple quick points to wrap this up. One, notice in verse 1 how it uses the word glorious. This is important. I love that James refers to Jesus as our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Glorious means radiant, reflecting God's light. John 1:14 said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is glorious, revealing the beauty and light and truth of God. Glorious, the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, in the world's standards, he was born poor, without a bed, laid in straw manger in a stable when he was born. He was raised up in Nazareth to a poor couple. Nazareth, the least town in all of Galilee. There was nothing about him in a worldly way that was glorious. We esteemed him not. But he's the glorious Lord Jesus Christ because his beauty and light and majesty was seen in the grace and the truth and the love and the life that he surrendered to the will of God. James is saying that we believers in the glorious Lord Jesus are to live as him, to live and reflect the light of Christ in the world, to show mercy. This is the glory we should be chasing after. This is the glory of God revealed in Christ, now alive in us. Jesus is saying, don't be mesmerized by the shining gold on the fingers of the rich. Instead, be captivated by the true glory and the light revealed in Jesus Christ. Let his light and glory shine in you in the way you treat others. Clothe yourself with a different kind of jewelry, a different kind of treasure. Be like our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Tony Campolo used to say, the price tags have gotten all mixed up down here. The world has put a value on certain things and exalting certain people, and we treasure and live for all the wrong stuff, while the true treasure we ignore, and the amazing people who do amazing things we overlook. We've got to switch the price tags and the way we look at life and begin to live like Jesus and see people like he sees them and reflect his light and his glory. Second thing I want to point out as we close is notice that James gives logic here about the rich and the poor. And he asks an important question. He says the poor in the eyes of the world are actually rich in faith, and they're the ones who are going to inherit the kingdom of God, while the rich that you are favoring are actually the ones exploiting you and dragging you into court and suing you, and they're blaspheming God in whom you belong. James is saying, step back, look again. Why do you care so much what they think? Why are you trying so hard to win their approval? Why are you valuing and favoring them and putting them up when they're putting your God down? You know, they're taking advantage of you. Why are you paying so much attention and caring what they think? The poor are the ones who are actually going to be reigning with Christ someday. And they're the true rich ones in what matters in faith. They're the ones of anyone you should be giving the best seat in the house to, right? So he's saying, step back. Why are you trying to impress that boss? Why do you care what that particular person on social media thinks? Why are you going out of your way to extend a greeting to this individual who could care less about the Lord, while this other person in your life, this wife who has loved you and cared for you for the last 20 years, you ignore every day? You know, think about it, he says. If you're going to do favorites, at least do them right, you know? James is saying, think about it. Sometimes we need to have God give us a reality check. And why do we worship that person? Why are we, everything that we idolize about them is going to be gone. They can take nothing of it with them. Why do we glorify that? Why do we care what they think when the people that really love us and love the Lord are perhaps sitting right around us, and we give none of our attention to them, but they're the ones Jesus is hoping we will see and serve and learn from. And finally, James reminds us here of the royal law, which is love your neighbor as yourself. This is the law that is above all laws for Jesus. This is the trump card. This is the most important thing we can do. Jesus said the most important command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is the royal law. Jesus said all the law can be summed up in this. James gives the example here of adultery and murder that everyone knows is wrong. And then he says, but you can still be a lawbreaker if you show favoritism, because it isn't loving to your neighbor. It's right up there, important to God. We may overlook this sin as, oh, not as bad as adultery or murder or these other things that they're doing. But James is saying, wait a minute, how you treat that person who comes into church is pretty important to God. It's actually very important to him. James says in verse 12, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. It means God cares about this. We're going to be judged by this. We all have to stand before him one day. But it says, you know, the royal law, it gives freedom. Freedom in the sense that our salvation does not depend on our works. We're saved by the blood of Christ and our faith in him. We're saved by the mercy of God and the forgiveness of the Lord received by faith. James is saying, in this freedom, though, in this mercy and love that he's shown you, give it freely away. Put that law into practice. Love that neighbor as God has loved you. Yes, it's a law, but one of freedom. It's voluntary now. It's an act of worship in response to the love that we've received. We are to treat others in the same way the Lord has treated us, to show mercy and no favorites. We're to give up our seat to another. We're to serve instead of look to being served. We're to value others above ourselves, because that's what Jesus did. He did that for us. He showed us mercy. He gave mercy and gave us kindness. For we're the poor beggars. We're the unrighteous Gentiles. We're the adulterers and the murderers in our hearts. We're the have-nots. We're the prodigals. But he is the Father who still welcomes us home. The King who still sends out an invitation for us to come to his banquet, to be part of his kingdom, to live in his home forever. Our God has not treated us like our sins deserve, but much greater than who we are. 1 John 3:1 says, "Oh, what love the Father has lavished on us that we might be called children of God." Who we are to him, he loves us. Mercy has triumphed over judgment in our life, so we of all people should show mercy and love to others, looking down on no one. I end with 2 Corinthians 8, 8 and 9, which says, "Am I not commanding you? But I want to test you in the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Our faith is seen in how we face our trials and how we face our temptations, in the listening and doing of his word, in the way that we speak to others, in the caring for those who are most in need, and how we treat one another, the rich and the poor. Let us learn to see everyone as God sees them and treat them with the same love and mercy that he has given to us. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.